Hey everyone, it's Albert Parker here. I'm the host of the new Hollywood Hustle podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the show where we stop gawking at red carpets and start following the money. We dive deep into the financial secrets that keep Hollywood thriving. Not gossip, not just celebrity dirt, real structures, real cash flows, the corporate chess moves that decide what gets greenlit and what gets buried. Who actually owns Hollywood? Who makes the real money? And who's just along for the ride? So what makes Hollywood Hustle stand out? We don't just report headlines, we unpack them. Now, how do you listen? Hollywood Hustle Podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For ad-free episodes, be sure to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.
What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
I'm Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Pixie Dust Twins Podcast. Gorge!
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate.
I'm AK.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Oh, come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins Podcast featuring Don.
Hi.
And produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Make sure you check out our social media. So we have Instagram, Facebook, YouTube Shorts, and TikTok.
Yes. And we have a website, LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com, that you can find a bunch of different podcasts, including a new news podcast, if you like to follow along with the news, and then also merchandise and streaming services and a membership. Mm-hmm. Please join.
Yes.
Please
check it out.
Join us. Anyways, moving on. I don't know. I'm loopy. I need more coffee.
Apparently.
Or a nap.
Apparently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, do you want to just dive in?
Yeah, because I got no news. I got no nothing.
I don't either.
We're newsed out on Disney. Yeah. Nothing else is happening.
Everything I had written down, we already talked about. So I have nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right, people. Okay. So we'll just go into it. All right. So today we're going to talk about just the first episode of Daredevil Born Again, which is coming out with season two very shortly after this episode drops.
This month?
Yeah, it's like the 24th or 25th, somewhere around there. So at the end of the month. Yeah, they'll be back for season two.
Yep.
All right. So I did ask Gemini to tell me about the last show for Daredevil.
Season finale.
I was like, tell me about this so I know what I need to know before I watch this show. So apparently the finale of the original first Daredevil series, it had a brutal three-way fight at Wilson Fisk's wedding between Matt Fisk and Dex, aka Bullseye. So just to fill in some of the backstory, Dex had been manipulated by Fisk into becoming a fake Daredevil to ruin Matt's reputation. That's not very nice to do to somebody. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fisk is bad.
Mm-hmm. He's a bad man. So during the fight, Fisk slammed Dex against the edge of a brick wall, paralyzing him by breaking his spine. So that's why his return in Born Again, now lethal again, is terrifying. So, didn't know that.
See,
that would have been nice.
I wasn't terrified. Yeah. We probably should have watched the first.
That would have been nice to know, but we know we did not watch the first show because Ashley wouldn't have watched it anyway. So we might as well just
Ashley would not
have. Just talk about the first episode as a general discussion. Yeah. Just saying.
What was funny, Pixie Dusters, is I told my husband what I needed to watch for this episode, for this show, and Brett's like, "Well, which Daredevil?" I'm like, what do you mean, which Daredevil?
I knew there was another one.
I did not. Yeah. He's like, there was one on Netflix and then Disney got it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, So I texted Sammy. I'm like, what are we doing? And Brett's like, that's not going to go well with you. You're not going to know what's happening. Now, he was saying it to me, not to all of us, to me. You're going to be utterly confused. And I was.
Yeah. But we all know Ashley wouldn't have watched it.
I actually did watch the episode.
Yeah, I'm surprised she even watched the episode, but we know she wouldn't have watched the series. So there was no point in doing that. There's no point in doing the series for the new one either. So I just knew to stay in my lane with what we were going to do. So that's why we're only doing the first episode.
Granted, I just am not watching anything nowadays. All I'm doing is reading. Like, I have been reading so many books. Mm-hmm. I'm almost to 10 books in the first 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Well, we're in the third month now, so I'll probably be almost at 20 at this point with the way I'm going.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. So let's see what else happened. So Matt eventually defeated Fisk, but chose not to kill him, obviously, because he's in the show, because he was sticking with this Catholic no kill rule. So he made a deal. Fisk would go to prison and leave Karen and Foggy alone, or Matt would expose Fisk's wife, Vanessa, being involved in a murder. So it was like a blackmail type thing, mm-hmm. I guess. So they had a happy ending. The series ended with the Avocados, Matt, Foggy, and Karen sitting in their office at peace, ready to start their law firm, Nelson, Murdoch, and Page. And then they blew it up in like 5 seconds in this reboot.
Thing. The Avocados. They call themselves the Avocados.
Apparently so.
I don't know where that came from.
Interesting.
All right.
I don't know if Gemini is right. I'm sorry if that's not a thing. But
sure.
I didn't watch the show, so I don't know. We're going to go off of this.
I'm going to ask my husband after this.
Yeah, ask him. And he'll probably be like, what is that? We just like blatantly got it wrong. Anyway, so basically, so if we look at the ending from 2018 to the Born Again premiere, in 2018, Matt obviously refused to kill Fisk. But in Born Again, in the premiere, he tries to kill Dex in a blind rage where he throws him off a roof.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I mean, you're sitting there and you have a sonic hearing where you can not only hear what's happening, but you can literally hear your best friend's heartbeat.
Right. Yes, you know.
And it's slowing down.
And you know.
And it's going. Mm-hmm. And you know. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to, you want to be there for him. You want to be there for your other friend.
Yep.
Karen. Mm-hmm. And you can't.
Yep.
And I honestly, if I was him, I would have been in a blind rage as well. Mm-hmm. And I would want to kill him.
It's understandable.
Like, Sammy, if someone shot you, I would kill that person.
I have no judgment to him at all. No. Totally get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, as I already said, the trio was reunited at the end of the 2018 show, and then not so much. First 10 minutes, they blow that up in the new one.
Because you can't be happy in Marvel.
Well,
not in these ones.
For a lot of show, Robbie and I were talking about this the other day, not just with the show, but for a lot of shows, there has to be some sort of conflict or turmoil going on constantly for people. So, yeah, but Marvel is certainly, certainly making us very sad.
Especially Daredevil. Yeah. Daredevil has just always been dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, any of the Hell's Kitchen series is going to be like that. Like Daredevil's like that. Punisher was that. Jessica Jones is like that. You know, like that was kind of the point of these specifically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, let's do the MCU, but for, you know, mature adults.
Yeah, definitely.
R-rated adults.
Definitely. Definitely. Yes. So in 2018, Fisk was sent back to a maximum security cell, but in this new one, he has scrubbed his image and now he's running for mayor. Mm-hmm.
How did he get out so quickly?
Did they say?
No.
No, not in this one. I'm trying to remember.
They didn't talk about him being in jail.
In Echo, did they talk about it?
I'm pretty sure they did in Echo.
Yeah, I just can't remember.
Mm-hmm. He should still be in jail.
Well, he's not. So here we are. And then we already talked about Dex, Bullseye, him making his magical recovery. Mm-hmm. So Born Again is supposed to be a quote-unquote soft reboot. And they... I asked Gemini, I said, is it a problem? I've never seen the other show. And it was like, no, they give you context clues about what's going on.
Not really.
It just made me laugh because I was like, not really. It kind of did. But I mean, like some of them that it pointed out is like, okay, Matt Murdock and Wilson Fisk are enemies. Well, yeah, I mean, duh. Like that doesn't tell me a lot about what happened to them prior to this, you know, other than their vague threats at each other. They show you the important people, Foggy and Karen, before things go sideways. I'm like, okay, yeah, but we don't really know the backstory based on this 10 minutes of show at the beginning. So yeah, that just made me laugh. Jim and I was sure I would be fine, but I was just like, I don't know what was really going on with the background. So I just enjoyed it for what it was, you know.
I mean, I didn't look up anything before I watched it. I literally just turned it on last night to watch it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I could tell like Karen and Foggy, I didn't know who they were, but I knew those were his best friends.
Yeah, because you could
tell.
He
had his arms around them and how he was talking to them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, there is like history and they are close. Mm-hmm. And then just in general, I mean, if anybody's in the Marvel universe of any sort, whether it's been cartoons or these movies or shows, you've heard of Kingpin, you know he bad job.
Yeah.
He bad boy. Mm-hmm. He not good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I understood what was going on. I got all the context clues, but the tone of like the emotions I should have been having were not
there.
That's
the problem. I agree with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the backstory. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the episode. So it's called Heaven's Half Hour. So it's a brutal goodbye to the Netflix era and a somber reboot for Matt Murdock. So we have Charlie Cox returning, obviously, because it's Daredevil. So he is the Daredevil. Kind of
Where
important.
Where are you?
I scrolled down because we already kind of talked about that stuff and we didn't really need to go back into. It's the returning icons.
What page are you on?
I don't know. Three? What is this?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, okay. The returning icons.
Like, where did you go?
because we already talked about that stuff. We have Vincent D'Onofrio, Wilson Fisk, aka Kingpin. Now he's a political, you know, version of himself.
Villain.
And apparently Vincent has gone on record saying he wants, or Fisk. I don't know if this is Fisk saying this. Probably not. It's probably Vincent. I don't know. Anyway, but apparently the character's whole goal is to gaslight the city. As being a mayor. So there you go.
Seems pretty on brand.
Yep. We've got John Bernthal, the Punisher.
Yeah.
He comes later. So he's not in this episode, but he does come later in this series. And then we've got Wilson Bethel, who is Bullseye. So, you know, obviously he's a big enemy for Daredevil.
Yeah, because we kind of glossed over on the thing that the theory is he has adamantium in him, and that's why he didn't die.
Oh, yeah. I think they do. They mention that in the first show. I don't know if they do.
Where that I don't know about the first show, but in your notes there, there's a theory that he has adamantium. I don't know if it's a fan theory that came from what.
Yeah, I guess I don't know.
Probably a fan theory.
It might be a fan theory. Yeah, because I don't know where that actually came from.
I mean, it would make sense because he shouldn't have survived.
Let's see. So apparently Foggy and Karen. So Karen is Deborah Ann Woll. Foggy is Eldon Henson. They were not supposed to appear, but fans were mad. So that's why they brought them back. But it was kind of like an F you to the fans because they were just like, fine, we'll bring them back and then we're going to kill one of them. But okay. I mean, thanks.
And make one move across the country.
Yeah, thanks for nothing. And then Islet Zurer, who's Vanessa Fisk. So she was replaced by another actress, but that didn't go over well, I think, with the fans. And then D'Onofrio also is just like, what are you doing? He basically, I guess he said Islet is Vanessa, period. So he kind of advocated for her to come back too. But I was reading like they had to like reshoot some of it because of that. So, yeah.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But good for him for sticking up for his coworker. Yeah. It's always a good look. So the new people, that's Margarita LaViva. She's Dr. Heather Glenn. She's the love interest and the therapist.
That was funny how they got together.
I thought that was really cute. Yeah.
It was so cute. When he's like,
wait, you don't need a lawyer.
She says you need a therapist. Wait a therapist.
Yep. What are we doing? That was cute though. It was funny.
Well, I'm like when he kissed her in front of the thing, he's like, this is so bad. I hate when I have to admit she's right.
Yes. It was super cute. Yeah.
So cute.
We've got Michael Gandolfini. He's Daniel Blade. He's the protege of Fisk. I guess there's rumors or thoughts that he might actually be Wilson's son from the comics, Richard Fisk, potentially.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I was excited to see him because you probably don't really know, but James Gandolfini, Sopranos, Tony Soprano, that is his son. And I'm just like, oh, look at the little James version who's back in the in this big show. Look at that. So I liked seeing him on screen. I thought that was nice. Nikki James who plays Kirsten, she's the ADA, so she's the one who set them up that we just talked about. Yes, yeah. And Kamar De Los Reyes is the White Tiger. So this is the first ever Hispanic superhero from Marvel history to be in live action MCU. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Sweet.
Yeah. So like we talked about the opening. So everything seems pretty cool at the bar. Everyone's hanging out, and then it very rapidly goes downhill
to crap.
When Foggy is taken out by Bullseye, and then Matt loses his mind following Bullseye up to the roof and throws him off the roof, which is not, you know, again, it's kind of out of character for him since he doesn't kill people, but he was very upset. But I mean, what a way to like open it, like seeing, because again, we just kind of talked about this last week, like with Marvel, you don't always get to see how broken down the characters are when something tragic happens, right? A lot of them are stoic and just move on, whatever it may be. But he was like super upset afterwards. He throws away the mask. I mean, it's a whole thing. So I thought that was a good, you know, outside the normal Marvel reactions to a certain extent.
Well, what's funny is this is going to be a really like, it's on topic, but it's roundabout. What's funny is this makes me think of Maddie and Liv, Liv and Maddie show on Disney Channel. Maddie, is it Maddie? No, Liv. Liv's an actress, and she gets casted as a superhero. And they even then, Disney was doing this where they did this whole thing where she's trying to be super and not show emotion and show that she is strong and everything. And the woman who plays the director, she's like, something's missing. There's supposed to be more emotion. And then she starts to realize throughout the episode, like, oh no, I need to show that I'm just as broken. And this is not something that like superheroes have emotional sides.
Right.
So it's interesting that like this is something that Disney is going back to, even though it was from a Disney Channel show. Because it is true. Like, there is so much more to these superheroes than just hero.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
I feel like the Superman movie kind of set the trend for that, because that was real. That was a real big splash when
the most recent one.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either, but I've watched the scene that everyone, like, his big speech at the end that turns into what you're talking about. Like, he's a superhero, but he shows real vulnerability.
Yeah, that's a good point. So. Okay, so after all of that goes down, we time jump to 1 year later. So Matt's not been the Daredevil. He gave up on doing that because he's haunted by basically what he tried to do to Dex, trying to kill him. He's at a new law firm. He's got a new investigator, Cherry, who's actually a retired cop who saw him take off the mask on the roof.
Yeah, that was like, oh, shoot. Sorry.
Yeah. Beep. Yep, but they, instead of it becoming a negative thing, now they work together. So I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fisk, of course, like we said, he's going to run for the mayor of New York. And the episode actually culminates in a meeting between Matt and Fisk, where they have their mutual, like, understanding.
I was so afraid. I was so scared for that.
It was tense, man. I was like,
very tense. It was good.
Like, you can see Fisk's face change. I'm like, oh crap, Matt's in front of him. Oh crap. Oh crap. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a tense couple minutes when they were sitting together. Yeah. Lots of underlying context to that conversation.
Yeah. Until he outright says, if you start your Ventolanti crap again, you're done.
Yeah. I'm like, he's just like, don't put on the suit.
Guess who's about to put that suit back on because you're mayor.
Clearly. Clearly. And of course, at the end of the episode, Fisk wins. So yeah. And there's like a graffiti that shows him wearing, like, holding his own mask. And I'm like, yep, that tells us everything we know about Fisk. Right there. Not subtle at all. Not subtle at all.
Well, and then him walking to the corner and, like, his kingdom. I'm like, not good. There's Kingpin. There's Kingpin.
He's right there. He's right there. Yeah.
The way they did that, the way they shot that too, where he, like, they're zooming in on him, but it looks like he's getting bigger. And he's like, to the point where he's overtowering over the city skyline, was so cool.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
First of all,
oh, it's so ominous.
The way they shot this entire thing, I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's so well done. All the weird angles. Cinematography.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like insane. The oneer, you know, I was just like, oh, it was so good. So good. So good. But we really loved the shot when they brought Fisk back where it's upside down. And we're just like, what is that telling you? And I was like, clearly we're trying to get some, like, inference about his character and who he really is with the upside down shot. But, you know.
That shot, when that shot came on, I was, it was on my phone and I had it laying on my desk because I was watching it while I was working. And I'm looking, I'm like, is my phone, like, I had flipped my phone up to see that. I'm like, oh, you're no, just this like, is actually supposed to be upside down. Why is this not working?
Yes, that's so funny.
That is so good.
That's so funny. I love that.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Well, and the scene where Fisk comes in and it's the table with Vanessa and the table of families or whatever.
Yeah.
And she said, oh no, everything's buttoned up. He's like, I can't. He's like, everything has to be legal.
Right.
She's like, yep, everything's legal. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, oh, this isn't good. When the villain is able to figure out how to do everything legal. Right. Oh, this is going to be dark.
Bad sign.
This is bad.
A bad sign. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we hear he's going to be mayor. I'm like, oh, this is really, really, really bad.
Yeah. Yep. Big setup.
I don't know. I might actually be intrigued enough to try to finish this.
That's why we kept watching it. So we're probably going to finish it. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it was one of the, it was a similar situation where, like, I kind of went in with pretty much no expectations. Like, okay, I'm just going to get through this and ended up actually getting kind of pulled in. So I want to see where it goes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
cause I ended up pausing it at work. I'm like, okay, I got to finish this at home when I can,
you can actually pay attention to it. Yeah. That's why I made sure I watched it last night when I could actually, like, watch it. So, but I was, like, working on stuff, like, I'm painting a mask, right? And then I'm like, wait, move the hand because you're gonna like mess up the what you're doing. Because I was like, oh, what's happening on the screen? Yeah, yeah. It was very, very much drew you in.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of masks, how long did it take you to bedazzle that mask?
Oh, I have. Hold on, I don't have one bedazzled mask. I have
the blue one you just posted about.
Three fully bedazzled masks. I have a blue one. I have a Ninja Turtles one, which I've not posted yet. And then I have a green one that's fully bedazzled.
How long?
They can take like around, like it, total time is probably like 10-ish hours at the minimum, ooh, I would say.
So much patience.
Probably. Yeah.
Nope. I'd be done. I'd be done after an hour. Be like, nope, never doing this again.
The Ninja Turtles one was worse because it had three colors.
You had to have the pattern.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that one took
me long. I saw the blue one come up on my Facebook. I'm like, or my Instagram. I'm like, how long does that take?
Yeah,
a
good 10 hours depending. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dang, girl.
Yeah. And then I have some that are partially bedazzled and yeah, it's like a whole thing. So yeah. It's a lot of
you work. Guys, if you're listening, you've never checked out some of Sammy's like mask painting and mask bedazzling work, you need to go check it out.
Yeah, I have lots of pictures. Well, this is in March. So we just went to Scared Ice by the time this episode comes out. So there'll have been lots of photos and whatnot to see what I've been doing. So,
go check them.
Yeah. Okay. So for the show, so I guess originally the show was going to be run by Matt Corman and Chris Ord, who also ran Covert Affairs, that show. But then they got booted. Well, sorry. So again, in the original version, which was scrapped for this series, they were not going to bring Foggy and Karen back because they were going to kill them off screen or just not talk about
them
or not talk about them. Yeah. One of the two. So they're either going to die or just let's just not talk about his besties. Like
the fans would not have been happy.
I think that's what the problem was. Yeah. The suit. So Matt wouldn't have put on the suit, the Daredevil suit, until episode 4. But obviously, we've already seen him in it in this series. And we know it's coming back, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, very shortly. The format was originally going to be a case of the week legal procedure instead of the crime saga that we're getting now. And the tone would have been lighter and more like a Disney Plus traditional show versus the like gritty, you know, bloody version that we got.
Daredevil can't be lighter.
Why would you do like, that? I don't understand.
Even the crappy movie with Ben Affleck was dark and gritty.
Why would you do that? That's why that got scrapped, because that was, I'm sorry, it's garbage.
That's just,
I don't even think the comics have any sort of lightness to them when it comes to Daredevil. Mm-hmm.
Daredevil is not that character.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, so, it's called Hell's Kitchen for a reason.
Right? Good, what are you doing? So much, much better. But it is always funny because they dropped an F-bomb on the show and Robbie and I are always like a little thrown off. Sometimes we're like, oh, okay.
The audacity.
It's a Disney. This is Disney Plus. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Obviously I am
Disney Plus and Hulu.
I am happy. Well, this is a Disney Plus show because
I know, but they're all there.
Yeah. It's the same thing now, you know? But it does throw me off a little bit because I'm still like adjusting to the fact that Disney has finally said, yes, we can do grown up things. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that made me laugh.
And claim it as their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not
because when they would do grown up things, they would claim it under something else.
It's Touchstone. Yeah. It's Miramax. No. Mm-hmm. Now they're like, yep, it's us.
No, no, not anymore. It's this us. This is Disney.
It's Disney. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It works. Like, they took over everything, so you might as well just take over, you know, being raunchy. Or not raunchy, but, you know, saying bad words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, technically, they went raunchy with Daredevil 3.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
With Daredevil?
Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
Deadpool 3. Mm-hmm.
Well, Deadpool is a movie that they acquired from Fox, and they were like, okay, we'll stick with it.
You know? Yep.
They could have changed it. They did not.
Yeah. But they shouldn't have. So good job.
Well, no, it's Deadpool. Mm-hmm. He has to be raunchy.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we don't need everything to be PG. So that's fine.
Well, I mean, just put it where it works. I mean, not everything has to be rated R. Not everything has to be rated PG. Nope. Or like the R stuff can be R. The PG stuff can be PG. It's the fact that they have the freedom to do that now is what's working well for them.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, so it sounds like we generally liked it, though, even though we kind of didn't know what was going on.
I'm excited to kind of see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to watch this show slowly because it's very dark.
Yeah.
And Ashley doesn't always like dark. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ashley likes very happy-go-lucky, the PG things. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested to continue it. I'm probably going to randomly watch it when I want to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Like Agatha. Agatha I did in one day, and that was difficult to do for me. Like, I got out of Agatha, and I'm like, okay, I need Sleeping Beauty.
That was really that bad.
I need something.
I loved Agatha.
Agatha, but it was just like, it's ever since Endgame and my panic attack in the theater, anything dark or anything of that nature is still very hard for me to watch and not like feel like I'm going to panic.
I didn't know that happened.
Even though I have you don't know about that.
No.
I've talked about it on the podcast. You must not have been on here.
Yeah.
Endgame, Endgame was in the midst of 2018? Maybe 2017? Is right? Or maybe 2019?
2019.
I don't know. It was 2019. 2019? Okay. Yeah. April of 2019. I was just about to finish my master's in ministry. I was working at a church, and the boss I had loved to hold my job over my head. And he didn't, he threatened to let me go a couple times because he didn't like that I actually like kept the kids to a higher standard and was strict with them. He thought I needed to be a happy-go-lucky pastor. And there's a lot to unpack. The way he treated me made me start having anxiety and panic attacks. I never had anxiety, like the amount of anxiety that I have until I worked for him.
Wow.
And it was the height of it. And I was in theaters watching Endgame with my brother. And during the very last scene, as everyone was coming through the rings to come to the aid of Captain America, I was so overwhelmed and so scared and so all the emotions you have when watching a movie like that, it threw me. I had to leave the theater. I didn't walk out. I had to get fresh air. I was having a full on panic attack.
Wow.
I couldn't breathe. My brother had to come out with me. It was bad. Wow. It was so bad. We sat there for a half an hour and he almost didn't let me drive home. So that's another reason why Marvel, I thought you knew this because this,
I had no idea. Sammy knows about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sammy knows that this is actually a part of why I don't watch Marvel a lot, because it's like a triggering point for me in some aspects. Like I can barely watch the old Avengers because it reminds me of that time. So Marvel tends to be a trigger to me sometimes.
Gotcha.
Lately it has not. Lately I can watch like Thunderbolts, which honestly, I'm surprised The Void didn't trigger me. So maybe I am getting better. Yeah. But yeah, it was pretty bad. I couldn't watch Marvel for a good like 5 years.
Wow. That's really rough. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you went through that.
It is what it is. For sure. That's honestly why I went to Nebraska. Mm. I literally like when I was looking for another job and when it came up and God said, yes, you need to get out of here. I'm going to make sure all this works and send you that way. I took it.
I'm glad you got out of there.
And I am too. I did go back to it for a little bit. When I went back to Indiana, I went back to be a volunteer for that youth group thinking I wasn't going to deal with him.
Oh yeah.
And then my middle school youth pastor that I loved working for, he left and went to South Carolina, and then I did have to deal with him. I'm like, so I stayed for my girls. And then as soon as my girls went up to high school, thankfully I could, Brett and I were getting married and I could get out of it again. But I'm just like, I didn't let him walk all over me when I was his volunteer because I didn't work for him. And I let him know that.
Right.
But he's still there and still traumatizing people. And I'm not the only one who left because of him. Mm-hmm. And There's a whole documentation for it, but no one will do anything about it. So, you know, mega churches. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Got a little personal there.
Mm-hmm. It is a problem. It is a real problem. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I really hope none of my students watch this. I don't know if any of them are listeners, especially his daughter, because his daughter and I were very close.
I mean,
yeah. At one point, she's graduating this year.
I mean, at the end of the day, you can only protect people for so long. Eventually, people need to find out what's true and what's not. So
I know. All of my kids have asked me multiple times why I left, and I still have never told them.
People need to recognize when they're in a situation where they're not safe, put it that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if they're not safe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you knew it was bad because my dad is not one. My dad has never been the one to like. He's not that parent that if a teacher did something he didn't like, or if I got a bad grade because I said it was a teacher, he's not that type of person to like go in and complain to the administration, one of those parents. My dad is very much like take responsibility for your actions sort of deal. And it was so bad that my father almost like went to this man and said, "What are you doing to my daughter?" Right. Like he wanted to step up for me as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I backed him off. I'm like, "Don't do it. I'm about to get out. Like, just let it go. Mm-hmm. I'm not, I don't want to cause this. I don't want to cause drama where I'm leaving and then leaving my kids in the lurch." Mm-hmm. Cause my kids were my kids and they're still my kids to this day. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, it's bad when Papa Kreger wants to get involved.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. You brought in the big guns.
It was angry Papa Kreger. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen angry Papa Kreger since I was in like high school. Mm-hmm. It was that dad. And you don't understand that, Dan, because you never met that one.
Yes. For sure.
But Sammy knows that dad. Right. And she's like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Kreger could be very scary if he wants to be.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His all 5'9" tiny self.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, size is not everything. Sometimes it's all presence and it's all
true.
Will and determination. I mean, the tiniest people can be the scariest people sometimes.
Very true.
He was. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guys in our grade were scared of him.
Yeah. Yep.
Which to the same very thing I'm thankful for now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I look
looking back.
Back, like,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Looking back, I'm like, I'm glad they were scared of my father. Right.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. I didn't get involved with any of them. Mm-hmm. That's good.
It's fine.
Especially the one I wanted to get involved with. Dear Lord. Mm. He turned out to be a very, very, very bad boy. Mm. He no longer around. He was dumb.
Well, yeah.
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 Anywho.
Oh.
Ending on a darker note with a darker TV show.
Yeah. True.
That's
I'm very sad that the... Going back to Marvel, I'm very sad that the first 2 weeks of Marvel March, I very much enjoyed, and I'm looking at the next 2 weeks, and I'm like, "Well, this is gonna suck."
Yeah, we're starting on the high notes, and
why are we doing this?
Wait, these are the high notes?
Because if I started with the crap, you would have been like, "I'm not watching any of it," so I had to ease this it.
What's next?
Ironheart. I heard it's not good.
And then Brave New World.
And Brave New World is. Unfortunate, I've heard not good.
Yeah, because I've seen interviews with people asking Harrison how he could deal with being red.
You got paid.
His answer,
that's what the money
I got
is
paid.
For. Yeah.
That's what the money is for, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that just tells us it wasn't
good for you, Harrison. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Yeah.
I mean, you took Chris Evans out of it. What are you going to, I mean.
We'll see.
Chris Evans was Captain America. Mm-hmm. He was Steve Rogers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is that the one where that the one where we see Walker, or was that Falcon and Winter Soldier? I forget.
No, Walker was Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the Falcon is no longer the Falcon. He is now Captain America.
Falcon is now Captain America.
Okay. But I feel like it's not going to go well.
Right.
Clearly.
He should have just stayed the Falcon. No one needed to be Captain America.
We didn't need him to be Captain America.
Hmm. Captain America could have retired. Mm-hmm. Just retire.
He was good as
like
the Falcon.
Iron Man. Iron Man has retired. Yeah. Why do we need Ironheart?
I don't know. I like him as Captain America, personally, but
Falcon?
Yeah.
We'll see after we watch the movie if you still think.
Yeah, that's right. I liked him as Captain America in Falcon and Winter Soldier. I don't know how he's going to be in Brave New World, but.
I wonder if I need to watch the Falcon and.
It was good. It was good. It's actually not that long. It was like 6-7 episodes. Like it wasn't very long, but I remember it being pretty good.
I don't remember if I watched
6-7 episodes of like an hour.
I know they're hour long episodes. Which is kind of annoying.
That's the problem. Is they're long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, we'll see. Mm. I will watch. I have told myself I will watch the first episode of Ironheart and Captain America: Brave New World. So we'll
okay.
Do it. It'll be fine.
Okay.
I have what, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm. When's our next?
Hey, I watched Thunderbolts and Daredevil.
I can't believe it, but yes.
If I didn't want to watch them, I would have never asked you what we're talking about.
I was surprised, honestly. There you go. Yeah. I was surprised.
It's okay because we only have to do two of those and then we go into happiness, which is like 2 months of Ashley loveliness.
Okay. Which one is it?
It is. It's media based on books.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
And then Star Wars.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You should be. I need to figure out the last week of Star Wars, but I already know what we're doing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm very proud.
So there you go.
We're going to talk about Filoni. I want to background him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about what he's done because he's our new head honcho. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a different type of Star Wars trivia challenge that all of us can participate in.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a deep dive breakdown of our fandom. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but we're going to do it.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to talk about the psychology of our fandom.
Okay.
I don't know what we're going to do the last episode. I'm trying to find different ideas.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about Star Wars, but I don't want to like rehash everything we've already rehashed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. Do you want to hear some of the crazy ideas that ChatGPT tried to give me to do about Star Wars? You should hear these. These are funny. No. These are funny. Hold on. I got to get through the conversation. Let's see here. Zoom out of the galaxy and talk about Star Wars as a feeling, not a franchise. Do an episode on when Star Wars stopped feeling magical.
Mm.
Like talking about like when the magic faded or clicked or whatever. Mm-hmm. Another one. Fun angle is Star Wars through a non-Star Wars lens. If Star Wars were a theme park land, what stories would survive? That was another idea.
Okay.
And I looked at that. I'm like, I'm sorry. I can never look at Star Wars through a non-Star Wars lens. Like, that's just.
That would be Sammy's forte.
Yeah, that, since I don't know what I'm doing.
Only Sammy. Mm. Yeah. Only Sammy could do that on this podcast.
Yep. I don't want to do it.
Let's see here. You could also do a month-long miniseries on Star Wars myths we collectively made up.
Okay.
The whole thing is made up.
Like, what is that?
Oh, here's a spicy one.
A spicy one.
It's not actually spicy. Oh. Star Wars characters as coworkers, not personality breakdowns, workplace dynamics. Who'd you hate being on a group project with? Mm. Who takes credit for everything? Actually, that'd be kind of fun to talk about.
That'd be interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That might be the last week's episode.
There we go.
Okay.
Star Wars and the illusion of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about destiny, prophecy, and rebellion, whether characters really had agency.
Mm. All right.
Actually, that might be another good
That's
one.
That's not bad.
Let's see here. Wild different directions. Sound and silence in Star Wars. That's about the music, which we've already done a deep dive into.
We
John
have.
Williams. Mm-hmm. Star Wars opinions we were scared to say out loud. I did think about potentially doing this as our last one. Like, I don't emotionally connect to lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't like Jedi. Mm-hmm. Or yeah. whatever. Yeah. But that would be like 5 minutes and then we'd be done.
Mm-hmm.
What Star Wars actually taught us is another option. If Star Wars were cozy, this was interesting.
Is it not?
What would cozy Star Wars actually look like? Low stakes stories, domestic moments, quiet planets, everyday jobs. Like take the epicness out of it. And what would it just look like every day in the worlds of Star Wars without war? Which, honestly, if someone wanted to write a cozy Star Wars series, ooh, I could write a cozy.
Just say, don't you do that.
I think you'd be good at that. I feel like that'd be kind of your thing.
Don't you write things?
Because that's, I have a whole shelf over here of just cozy books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're like just everyday, like. Mm-hmm.
You write things and you like to feel good. This is your, I think you were kind of born for that.
Yeah, seriously.
Disney, if you hear me, don't listen to me right now. Wait until I give you the, mm-hmm. you the script. That's a good idea. Dang
it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Go for it.
Well, I know what I'm going to be doing today.
Yeah. Apparently.
Maybe brainstorming.
Yeah. Apparently.
I have like three book ideas going on right now. This is not good. Mm-hmm. This is number three.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Finally, do a meta episode on why we can't stop arguing about Star Wars.
Mm.
I feel like that goes with your fandom thing.
Yeah.
It kind of does.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And then there was another one. Future of the Force. What does hope look like in a modern Star Wars? I don't know what that means. Do listener hot takes, which we don't really do much with listeners because we don't do live shows. Mm-hmm. What was the last one? Oh, it also said you could do an episode of if you ran Star Wars, what would you do next?
I have no idea. I have no idea how to answer that one.
The thing is, if I ran Star Wars, I would just look at Filoni, be like, what do you think we should do, Filoni?
I know. Oh, yeah. You feel like you had to go to the expert.
Yeah.
I would be like, what should we? I need Filoni and Sam what was his last name? Whitwer? What is it? Who, the voice of Darth Maul. What's his name? Anybody?
I don't know his name.
So yeah, Sam Witwer. The guy who does the voice of Darth Maul on Clone Wars, he actually, he's the one I told you guys about before. He corrected Dave Filoni during the Clone Wars because Dave Filoni, like, forgot about a piece of canon or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And Sam's like, hold on. And they had to, like, fix it.
That's very funny.
Sam is a huge, huge Star Wars, like, he should probably be in leadership at some point for Star Wars. I would bring both of them in and be like, okay, what should we do next? Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to listen.
Just you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to support and give you money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that was for some ideas. So I don't know. I haven't decided what we'll do with the last week, but it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
A little different.
Oh, that'd be cool.
No, sounds fun.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Because I know we're sick of talking about the same things over and over again. I'm like, what can we do?
We've maxed out on pretty much all of like the main things that most people are talking about.
Yeah, so. And even though there's like Mandalorian and Grogu is coming out at the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't really talk about it. And honestly, like, I don't know if we will talk about it next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe if we do a recap of movies later in the year, we might talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like on our catch up month, September, we could probably squeeze it in there somewhere, but
yeah.
Yeah. Which by the way, November, I think we said, oh, we could probably do a Pixie Hollow movie month. But then I thought about it. I'm like, well, we could do the other, if we wanted to talk about the other Disneylands, because we've never talked about what they're like, how they started, what they have. We could always do that instead too.
We could. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Switch it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For one month, we will talk about something other than Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah. 1 month only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 1 month only here on Pixie Dust Twins. Oh, goodness. Cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So, yeah, that's what you're looking forward to, Pixie Dusters.
Coming soon.
Mm-hmm. Coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Percy Jackson, Narnia, and random Star Wars things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the summer of shorts. That's going to be fun.
Mm. And easy.
And very
easy. I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No complaints.
And those shorts are great, though. Those are like old Disney shorts and stuff.
Oh, my gosh. They're so fun.
So
much fun.
Yes. Yeah. So much fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually need to start working on the Percy Jackson stuff because I'm going to get a little analytical on that one.
Mm. I know absolutely nothing about Percy Jackson, so I'm going in blind.
I know, like, minimum.
I know Narnia. I do know Narnia, but
well, yeah,
yeah. You, I mean, you grew up in the world of where Narnia is big.
England?
The Christian
England?
Realm, because it's C.S. Lewis. Sammy knows nothing about Narnia.
I know about Narnia.
Well, I mean, like, honestly, I didn't really grow. I mean, I only had, like, the first one read to me as a child. So I really didn't come to them.
Oh, okay.
I didn't really come to them until, actually, I didn't read any of the books on my own until the pandemic. So.
Oh, all right.
I'd seen the series as a kid, like the BBC series. And then I'd seen the movie when it came out in 2005. I remember that being really big, but that was pretty much it. Like, I didn't really know the whole journey of everything. So yeah, no,
I thought they did. Yeah. I thought they did really well with the first one.
First one was really good. Second one was okay.
Second one, they took some liberties.
They did. The Voyager of the Dawn Treader was very good, though. The third.
Yes, Voyager of the Dawn Treader was very good. That was the Disney made one. I can't remember if Disney did the second one or not.
They never got to the Silver Chair, though. I was always sad, but that was always my favorite. I remember seeing that as a kid, and then reading the book as an adult. Like, it was, to this day, still my favorite.
Yeah, the second one, I'm happy that Ben Barnes was in it because I thought he was the most adorable thing ever. But it was not right. Like, he wasn't supposed to be that old and fall in love with Susan. Yeah, we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. Pretty much after these next two episodes, Sammy, you really don't have to do anything until June.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Works for me.
Nice.
Oh, all right, Pixie Dusters. Well, we need to wrap up. Thank you for joining us for our podcasting planning session.
Yeah.
Because we have one almost every episode.
Honestly, yeah.
I guarantee most of people just kind of tune out at this point. Like, okay, they're just planning and we're done. We're done listening.
Maybe.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
They
I don't
might
know.
Find it entertaining.
Maybe. I would find it interesting, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I would probably be laughing at us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or telling myself to shut up. Ashley, what are you doing?
Shut up.
Shut up, Wesley.
Nice. All right, Pixie Dusters. We will see you next week. We are doing the first episode of Iron Heart.
Yeah.
This should be interesting.
We'll see how it goes.
Let's be honest. Let's see if Ashley even watches it. God. Bye, Pixie Dusters.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.
Calling all you horror enthusiasts. If you are brave enough, we dare you to listen to our horror podcast, You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Don't forget to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.